Welcome to session two of E281, the PDH online audio course, Practical Plant Energy Reduction. I'm calling it 2009 because I'm pretty sure it's going to be updated as information becomes available, and you can know when there is new information available. 2009 is the current version, and the next one will be maybe 2011. But let's see what happens. So this is course content. Strategy: the scope of the current task is to reduce plant energy consumption 5%. That is, most simply, gather the current month's utility bills, make changes so that this month, next year, the billed usage is 5% less than the current billed usage. Sidebar: who established this scope? Well, throughout this course, there will be boxed commentaries. You can tell I'm reading from a box now. The boxes contain meaningful content intended to answer implied questions in the core material. Who said reduce plant energy consumption 5%? The state of California is quoted as saying reduce it 20%. Well, 5% is a lot easier than 20%. And if you can demonstrate a 5% reduction, you can get a lot more support for actions for further reductions. I also think we will discover that a 5% reduction can be done by applying generic solutions, whereas a 20% reduction will require careful study of the plant process and modifications to the processes. The time, manpower costs, support costs for critical evaluation of plant processes are not easily available. Also, process changes draw immediate criticism from all parties involved. New box: is it really possible to achieve a 5% energy reduction in a well-run plant? There have been several intimations already in this course as to the political obstacles to energy reduction efforts. Specifically, those presently in charge may take it as a career-threatening personal criticism to suggest operations could be performed more efficiently. For reference, please share with me a review of the auto mile per gallon results over the last 20 years. In 1990, American cars were delivering 10 to 15 miles per gallon. Japanese cars were delivering 12 to 20 miles per gallon. In 2009, American cars typically deliver 15 to 25 miles per gallon. Japanese cars deliver 20 to 35 miles per gallon. And that's not talking about the guy out there who claims 50 miles per gallon road mileage, and he keeps saying it, and I think they would sue him if it wasn't true. In 2009, both Ford and GM are promising 35 mile per gallon fleet average by 2015. Now, the way I know this is because I've been seeing the ads from Ford and GM, but I also know that the federal government is kind of mandating that. So the numbers in here, I think, are something we can buy into on a personal, intuitive level. What I'm saying is, engineering was applied to improve automobile net mileage efficiency, including engine changes, transmission changes, friction coefficients, and the weight being hauled around. But respected automotive engineers swore each year that no further mileage improvements were possible without sacrificing performance and safety. They were wrong. Similarly, today's plant managers, operations managers, process engineers, and facility engineers who claim we are already in the best of all possible worlds are wrong. Throughput and quality can be maintained and improved while reducing energy usage. Who is this class presenter to attack present plant managers and engineers? We start a new box. First, it's an error to take the position that proposed energy reduction is an attack on present plant managers and engineers. Rather, energy reduction is an essential step to keep plants open and managers, engineers, operators, and maintenance crews employed. Managers and engineers better take a leadership position and suck in the pride that claims reductions are impossible. The presenter for this course is a registered professional engineer who's been performing plant engineering studies for about 40 years. He has been intimate with instrumentation and data and calculated savings. He has watched the recommendations be ignored in almost every instance. Most often, the rejection was based on unsatisfactory payback, even at 12 months. Today's task avoids the payback question. It doesn't matter. If we keep paying increased maintenance indefinitely to achieve a 5% energy reduction, we have successfully completed the current assignment. The maintenance problem is a maintenance problem and must be solved by maintenance professionals. Today's problem is energy reduction, and we have the solutions. Regarding strategy, there are two key questions as follows. What can we do? And which of the actions will yield the greatest return? Both questions require immediate action items to get answers as follows. And it mentions here that these immediate actions items are reproduced in the checklist appendix. What I did was summarized everything that makes up the course in order. I just went through and used a split screen, copied down the good ideas from this paragraph into the end, the good ideas from this paragraph into the end. And so it starts with a short list and it becomes a long list before we're done. Extract and trend monthly energy usage and energy costs for at least 12 months. And all we're saying is make up a spreadsheet showing 12 months and how much gas you bought and what it cost, how much electricity you bought and what it cost, and the production level. Now, the production level is going to get hairy, and we will discuss that in some detail. But as I mentioned parenthetically early on, you can't just compare September electric with October electric because there are variables between September and October beyond electricity. One is weather, and the other is production level. If you had a two-week shutdown in October, it's certainly not fair to compare the energy usage in September and October. So we've got to get some measure of production level to normalize the energy usages. And the trends are just graphs of the numbers we're putting in the spreadsheet. Another immediate action item, identify the results of 5% reduction in each energy usage, and we're talking natural gas and electric, and get stakeholder buy-in for upfront funding of 100% the indicated annual savings. Now, this is a short sentence, and it's an earthquake kind of content. If we're going to reduce energy, we have to spend money. And this course is saying if you want a 5% reduction in your natural gas usage, plan on spending 5% of the cost of natural gas for a year to get those reductions. Now, is this a scientific, you know, MBA kind of analysis? No. This is based upon years of experience and watching how things are done and watching how much projects cost. You're going to spend 5% of your gas billing, and that's a huge amount of money, to get a 5% reduction. But what we're saying is we're going to pay it back the next year, and every year after that is extra money to keep the plant open. Now, again, this is an earthquake because nobody wants to spend 5% of your gas bill. Nobody wants to spend 5% of your electric bill. But if we're starting with the assumption management has told us we're going to get a 5% reduction in usage, this is what you're going to have to do. Start a plant energy balance. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about what a plant energy balance is. It's not a new concept. It's a little bit of a new application of an existing concept, but I think you'll like it, and we will get into quite a bit of detail. And what we're calling a plant energy balance is a graphic picture showing the utility billing information. Start a list of large energy-using equipment, lighting fixture area served, count and wattage, motor tags, nameplate horsepower, steam sources and uses in pounds per hour nameplate, compressed air sources and uses in nameplate SCFM. chilled water. Sources uses nameplate gallons per minute. Continuous duty machines and lights get first priority. Now let's spend a little more time talking about that. That's a year's work. I mean, a survey of the plant, identifying the lights and the motors and the compressed air and the chillers and the steam plant is a year's work. I mean, so either you're going to have staff doing it or you're not going to get it done for a year's time. So what we're talking about here, if you want to get some immediate action items, you get started on it. Look at a plan diagram of the plant and break it into areas. It's already broken into areas. You know, there's an office area. There's an incoming material receiving. There's a production area one, production area two. Well, it's already broken into areas. So, you know, draw your red line on that. Now, we're going to have to talk about these areas. We're going to talk about how much lighting there is in there. Well, you're going to have to spend a day looking at the production area one to figure out how much lighting you got there. You're going to have to find out what size fixtures you got and how many are. And that's what it says here. Break the plant into lighting fixture area served, production area one, count and wattage of the lights there. And if you want to be a super humdinger, you get an electrician to take the cover off the lighting panel, and you stick a clamp on ammeter in there, and you see how many amps it's drawn. Make sure your calculation of watts matches the measured watts. Same thing for motors. Now, you can go nuts on motors. And this is a real sensitive area. There isn't a quick answer on this. I'm going to give you a quick answer, but it's a slough off. It's not really answering the question. In fact, small motors give you the best return on changing them out. In fact, large motors give you the least benefit from changing them out because they're already the most efficient motors in the plant. So you can't ignore the small motors and you can't ignore the large motors, but you see what I'm talking about. It's going to take some analysis on that, and that's what we're going to talk about later. Now, I mentioned the steam and the compressed air and the chillers. And yes, I mean, we're going to have to look at those, and you better start getting them on your list. You know, we've got four big air compressors out in whatever area of the plant. And you're going to walk by them, and you're going to gather nameplate data. You may not do anything with it right away, but it's got to be in your folder because it's going to come up later. And I say again, continuous duty machines and lights get first priority. Start identifying and inspecting waste streams. Now, this is counterintuitive. Intuitive says electricity's coming in the front end, measure electricity, cut something off. Natural gas is coming in the front end, something's using natural gas, cut it off, save money. Why are we looking at the back end where we're dunking stuff into the river and burying stuff in the landfill and radiating stuff out into space and getting cooling tower plume on the employees' cars with the little white specks that you can't wash off. The reason for this is what you're discharging is waste. And as soon as you go out there and you find you're discharging 150 degree hot water, you know there's heat to be recovered from that. So it is a first step to look at the waste streams. Now, does that mean do detailed analytical study? No, go around and get an idea of what your major waste streams are and see what's hot. Now, at some point, we're going to want to go back there with an infrared thermometer and find out what the temperature of the water is, what the temperature of the cooling tower plume is, you know, and stuff like this. But right now, we're just identifying them and recognizing that they are clear indicators of available waste reduction. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the monthly energy summary and trend charts. Boxed comment, warning, keep it simple. People who have taken basic or advanced Excel courses want to show their skills. Please avoid this temptation. It is easy to spend three times as much effort on presentation and fancy stuff as you do on data gathering and clear presentation. This course says data gathering and clear presentation deserve the effort. Tricky, super humdinger presentation is not valuable. It does not improve the value. It's a distraction to the content value. The energy summary and trend charts are to communicate two values only, usage and change in usage. We've suggested some extra columns to simplify comparison between months, but try to avoid the compulsion to calculate annual averages and overlay them on the annual trend summaries. Averages hide data rather than exposing it. And this is one of the places where people with a lot of statistical background are going to argue with me. Well, let me tell you a secret. Statistics only mean something to statisticians. Dollars mean something to you and me and everybody in the plant. And if we're seeing numbers like $150,000 and $250,000, we're going to catch people's attentions. If we start talking about standard deviations and standard errors of the measure, yeah, these mean something. They mean a whole heck of a lot to the academics. But if they could speak English and say, the calculating method here may produce an error of $25,000. You would say, well, yeah, okay, $150,000. It might be a little higher, a little low, but 25 is something we can accommodate. They don't do that. They start talking very technical terms to show how great they are, and it leaves everybody hearing the critique. Either you throw away the whole project because you believe them that it contains defects, or you're just lost. So, again, you keep it simple, and nobody can argue with numbers you take off the utility bills. People are going to want to argue. We're going to call it gaming later in the course. They want to play games to make themselves look better, and we want to avoid that. We want to find the brutal, indisputable facts and talk about how to make them better numbers. We've suggested extra columns to simplify comparison between months. Try to avoid the compulsion to calculate averages and overlay them on annual trend summary. Averages hide data rather than exposing this. And I insist that's true. The human eye has a superb facility for instantaneously calculating averages. If you get a decent chart showing what happened between January and December, you can look at that chart and you say, well, something happened June and July. Hey, those were the warm months. You know, you don't need somebody to drawing a line through it and putting a text bubble off of it. The human eye does this well. You don't need to draw a slope trend line or a horizontal trend line. Your eye does this nicely. Don't do the fancy stuff. Do not do analytical calculations within the summary. Do not plot variances, that is the difference between months, as trends. The reader will want to do his own calculations in order to take ownership of the data and results. Variances are extremely qualitative, far beyond the simple difference between 2 months' totals. If variances are appropriate and necessary, they should be narrative. A word description, not simply numeric. This course recommends not calculating dollars per kilowatt hour. Now, wait a minute, did we just change the subject there? No, dollars per kilowatt hour are going to show up on our sheet. We're going to get monthly billing, and we're going to get monthly kilowatt hours. And a compulsion of people who do spreadsheets is divide those out and get dollars per kilowatt hour. Don't do it. Okay, why don't do it? It's a very important number. It tells you a lot of important things. Absolutely correct. Don't do it. The reason is we're talking about plant energy reduction. We're not talking about our contract with the utility or the utility's fuel. What do they call that adder? They charge you 10 cents a kilowatt hour extra because they got a bad contract on their coal. Well, you know, all this stuff takes place, and all of it is real, and all of it is meaningful, but it's not what we're doing today. What we're doing today is reducing kilowatt hours in the plant, and we don't really care what they cost. We want to see a reduction next year, and we want to see a corresponding dollar reduction. But if the dollar reduction isn't as good as the kWh reduction, that's a totally different problem. That's not the problem of the Energy Reduction Task Force. Dollars per kWh reports a factor external to plant energy usage. It's an extremely valuable measure, but distracting to the content of this report. Now, there's been a lot of jabber here, and I hope the words do make sense. And you kind of nod your head and say, yeah, that sounds about right. Well, next we do a sample plant energy summary. And all I did was open a spreadsheet and label some columns and some rows. And I labeled the rows June 2008 through June 2009. Why did we do that? Because we want to compare the monthly consumption, the monthly cost, and the monthly production of, you know, the electricity usage and natural gas usage in the plant production. That's what we want. That is the core of what's going on here. Yeah, there's going to be a tremendous amount of effort behind the scenes to change these values in a favorable direction, but this is how we go into it, and this is how we plot our successes. So again, first column is the date, and month per year is, you know, June 2008 is a nice way to do it. 2008 is historical. Find out what we did last year. Okay, there's going to be a story between June and July 2008. That's not what we're doing here. We're reporting the production in June, the production in July, the electricity kWh used, the electricity kW demand used, the electricity dollars. Comes off the electric bill. Now, this production thing's going to be a hairy number, and yeah, we're going to have some trouble with that. We're going to talk about that later. We're going to look at the natural gas MBTU used and the natural gas dollars. Okay. Now, there's nothing arguable here. That's what we're doing here. We're not doing analysis. We're just reporting data in a summary. And I say again, stay away from the MBAs who want to do fancy stuff with this. Fancy stuff means they are pursuing an agenda. Simple stuff means we're looking at what the plant's doing and we're trying to improve it according to our objective of reducing energy. So the course says keep it very simple. The course will not explain how to find the metered kW demand or the metered kilowatts from the electric bill. We will not explain your local natural gas bill either. If this becomes a serious impediment to moving forward on the project, call to accounts payable in the accounting department and arrange to visit with the person who handles the utility bills. Almost without exception, this person is very knowledgeable about the billing structure and will help you. He can also give you the name and phone number of someone in the utility who will talk to you. This is the point at which you find out if the mandate for energy reduction is real. If the funded goal is another study, you're going to need $100,000 for meter rental and installation, thermal imaging rental and use, number crunching, and first-class reproduction in the report. Okay, now did we just change topics there? Yeah, it wasn't quite linear. There was double spacing in the written text. But we went from doing the trend charts to what do you do with the trend charts? Well, after you have totaled up the energy usage for the last 12 months, you know what the annual energy usage is, and you know what 5% of that is. Now's the time to go in and tell them, do we have 5% of $1 million to spend on this project? And that's a real number, and you do need 5% of the energy cost for the last 12 months in order to get the kind of goals, to reach the goals we've been talking about. And I say again, this comes through sounding parenthetical, but it's a critical idea. If they're still playing games, and sometimes I think the higher the level, the more games they play. If the goal is a study, having a nice guy who's bright working on it is not doing a study. You've got to get data to do a study. And you're going to need instrumentation. You can't walk through the plant and identify the power factor. The only way to identify the power factor is clip a meter on the line, a meter that reports power factor. Where are you going to get that meter? Well, either you're going to have to buy it and find somebody who's willing to stick his hand in to do that, or get a contractor in to do it. I mean, it's going to cost money, and that's why it says here $100,000 is a nice number for a real energy reduction study for a genuine production facility. Warning, Internal utility tracking is critical, but not addressed as a first step action item. A plant which has a large skid-mounted liquefied CO2 unit will want to track CO2 use. Similarly, if the steam plant takes up a major part of the overall plant footprint, you'll want to track steam usage. Chilled water is essential to many plants, and the chillers, pumps, piping deserve close attention. Net chilled water usage will be required on the fully developed utility summary. But these are derived energy flows. The first step is to track incoming, clearly monetized energy flows. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you reduce waste in the chilled water system, you have reduced energy usage. But it doesn't show up as chilled water. It shows up on the electric bill that operate the chillers. So, yeah, this stuff's important. This is how you get the reduction. But the first step is to look at the billing. So, you're tracking where the electricity is used, and you're doing the reduction efforts where the electricity is used. Okay, I'm going to stop now because we've been working together for 25 minutes, and I need a drink of water. So we're going to come back in a moment and finish up on the energy usage summary and start talking about the trend charts.